What is good, G-Man Daily listeners? Your boy JD is back. Today, what are we doing today? We are doing a week one Giants versus Broncos game preview. Why not? I mean, I want to do this every week with every Giants game coming up. I think it's a great idea to just dive right into our predictions, dive right into what I think the opposing team is going to bring, what I think we are going to bring. And let's start right away with who's playing and who's not. Giants just released, not too long ago, Adoree Jackson, questionable. Saquon Barkley, questionable. Adoree with the ankle injury he had about maybe, 2.5 weeks ago now. I think he'll be fine. Saquon is obviously the guy we're all worried about. We're all going to hold our breaths each time he runs the football. But, I mean, that's what happens when a guy comes back from a very major injury like the way he did. Saquon's questionable. There was reports coming out that I think Jason Garrett? He said that Saquon's 100%. I see a lot of, Giant fans tweeting out, okay, Saquon's 100%. I'm not buying into all of that yet. I need to see him play. We need to see him play because we don't even know if Saquon trusts himself yet. He needs to run. He needs to see how that knee feels. We'll all know when Saquon is back. We'll all know it. I don't even need to explain or describe how that'll be. We'll know when Saquon is back. And then Evan Ingram is out. Once I started hearing he wasn't practicing this week in the beginning of the week, I already knew he was not playing. But to be honest, I'm not too worried about Evan Ingram not playing. Yes, I know we don't have a lot of depth at tight end, which I thought we would pick up another tight end by now, as you guys remember from my 53-man projection video, and which, honestly, I didn't do too horribly in. We obviously got some guys. A guy I'm really excited for, I don't want to get too off topic and talk about other things, but a guy I'm really excited for that we stole from the Steelers practice squad was Quincy Roche. Out of Miami, the U. He had a really good college career. I had us actually in my mock draft. I had us getting him at in the third round. But he falls to our lap on the waiver claim. So, look, that's a great addition for our outside linebacker group where we need a little more depth. But, yeah, let's get into the Broncos versus Giants game preview at MetLife, in which I will be there. If it's a close game, I'll probably stay the halftime to watch the rest of the game. But honestly, after my shifts, I usually just want to get right home, and then I just rewatch though. I record the game, obviously, though. I just rewatch the whole game the morning after. But yes, let's get into it. Giants versus Broncos, and let's start with the Broncos and what we know about them. We know their strengths. It's not too hard to recognize. It's obviously their defensive secondary. You got guys like Justin Simmons, Kareem Jackson. The list goes on. Patrick Surtain. They got Ronald Darby from the Washington Redskins, who had a really good year for Washington. I think he's actually a very underrated corner. That's a guy I thought the Giants should pursue before Adoree, obviously. I really like Darby last year for Washington. They boosted their secondary. Obviously, it makes sense because they're in a division where Patrick Mahomes plays. They're a division where I know there's a lot of bad talk about Derek Carr, but honestly, Derek Carr is really not that bad. I watched a couple Raiders games. Don't ask me why. They were on TV. I was watching it. Derek Carr is actually not that bad. Raiders actually moved the football very well. It was their defense that cost them games. But Derek Carr can air it out. But yeah, that division just has good quarterbacks that can air it out. And Justin Herbert, obviously. So it's obvious what the Broncos are trying to do. They're trying to boost their secondary, which is a lot where defenses are going nowadays. As in the Giants. But yes, I know from what I heard and what I researched about the Broncos, even a couple weeks ago, because obviously we knew that we were going to face them week one, I know the Broncos really wanted to play more of a 4-DB set. So have four cornerbacks out there because they think they're very good at that aspect. But hence why they picked up Ronald Darby. Fuller, because they got Kyle Fuller now. I can't believe I forgot about Kyle Fuller from the Bears. Very good cornerback, very good slot cornerback. He most likely will be on Sterling Shepard. It's going to be a tough task for the Giants' offensive receivers, tough task for, obviously, the O-line, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Still want to talk about the secondary real quick. So, yes, the Broncos really wanted to, they really want to, actually, play way more with four DBs on their defensive sets this season. But barring a game like going against a team like the New York Giants with a running back like Saquon, who's a home run threat, I don't think we'll see too much of four DB sets, because you don't want a guy like Patrick Surtain coming up and trying to tackle Saquon Barkley. That's a tough task for a rookie, especially guys like Kyle Fuller, who's not very big. He's very good at what he does, at being a slot corner. Don't get me wrong. But he's not a very big guy. It's not a guy you don't want trying to tackle Saquon Barkley. You want your big, beefy guys up front, your middle linebackers, your inside linebackers, and your outside linebackers. So I don't expect them to run the defense they really want to run. So it kind of makes it a little difficult for them to scheme, especially because the Giants are keeping the Saquon injury a little low key per se. I do think he's healthy, but I think they are a little bit just hiding it, you know, disguising it a little bit for the Broncos. I think they're just trying to keep them on their toes. I wouldn't be surprised if right off the bat they try like some sort of crazy play with Saquon right off the bat. Just, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it'd be awesome to see. But I do think they'll keep Saquon on some sort of leash week one. I can't lie. I think we'll see a lot of Devontae Booker, who actually had a very good game against the Broncos last year for the Raiders. I was actually looking at that game. He played very well. He tore them up, actually. That was his previous team before the Raiders. So 2 years ago, he was on the Broncos. He was their starting running back, or at one point he was. But yeah, he had this little revenge tour against the Broncos last year. Hopefully he has one this week, because I know we'll be seeing a lot of Devontae Booker. Probably not a lot of Garrett Brightwell, but it is what it is. Moving on to the Broncos up front, you know, you got Bradley Chubb, you got Reed, you got obviously the man himself, Von Miller, who's actually one of my favorite defensive players in the league. He's been for a long time. He's actually just a great guy. Just hearing him talk, I actually listened to his post-practice interview with Broncos beat reporters, and honestly, he had nothing but high remarks about the Giants. He even said himself, he's like, I'm a fan of football. And, you know, when I watch Daniel Jones, I see a guy that's just ready to keep taking leaps and leaps and leaps. And I was surprised to listen to him say that. I'm like, okay, I like what he's saying. He's definitely scouted the Giants. He definitely knows what he's in for. He knows Nate Solder. They were drafted in 2011 together. Kyle Rudolph was actually in that draft too. They had all three had the same agent, so they're all pretty close. But yeah, it's going to be Nate Solder against Von Miller. I know a lot of John fans don't want to hear that. Nate Solder did actually play, I'll say, competent from what we saw. I know it was just a preseason game. That's why I'm not really trying to bank on it. But he did look a little competent when he was out there. Matt Pert was the one that actually really struggled at that right tackle spot. We know Andrew Thomas' situation didn't play well against the Patriots. There was reports that coming in, he didn't say anything to the media, but there was reports after the game saying that he came into that game feeling very sick. But hey, let's go. From what I saw, Andrew Thomas is the same thing Carl Banks saw. I saw a guy that was scared to get beat inside. He wasn't setting his foot right. Guys were just slamming his arm down and just getting past him on the edge. So that has to get cleaned up. But yeah, let's hope he's ready for week one, because that'll be huge for us. He'll be going against Bradley Chubb, who's out also actually very banged up with his ankle. I saw a report saying that it happened around last week or so, but saying that he felt actually worse like start of this week. I heard that on like Sunday or Monday. So we'll see how Bradley Chubb, if he even plays. But if he does play, we know Bradley Chubb is not 100% by any means. So I think that's good news for Andrew Thomas, who's probably going to see him majority of the time. Because Von Miller is usually lined up against right tackles. But yeah, that's for the Broncos defense. We know the Broncos offense is at the helm. It's Teddy Bridgewater, who's really just a game manager. I don't really want to downplay Teddy, because I've seen him play for a while now. He makes some good throws here and there. He knows when to escape the pocket. He does make questionable decisions sometimes, though. He does. I'm not going to say everything is all good and dandy with Teddy Bridgewater. He does make very questionable decisions at times, but over the years he has improved his pocket awareness for sure. He doesn't really run that much, but I also feel like the Broncos are going to try to implement that a little bit, because Melvin Gordon is their starting running back. He had a decent season last year, but to be honest, it was more borderline kind of bad to decent. It wasn't, you know, wasn't anything spectacular. And now he's the featured. Now he's the featured back. He's RB1 against the Broncos inside. I mean the sorry about that, guys. The Giants inside defensive line. I think they will do fine. I think they will do good against the run. I actually do think they'll do good against the run. I know we didn't see them do that well against the Patriots run, but Patriots also have every running back on that team is pretty much a stud. But yeah, I think we're going to do well against Melvin Gordon. If anything, I think he'll have success bouncing on the outside because that's where their strengths are on their O-line, their left and right tackles. Inside, Lloyd had a pretty rough season for his rookie year. I expect him to be better this year, but I think the Giants can take advantage of him, especially Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams. Their guards are questionable. Their center is questionable. So I think they're going to try to bounce a lot on the outside. So I think the Giants should be prepared for that. Knowing Patrick Graham, he probably is. But with that being said, we're now going to go into our team. We're going to go into our New York Football Giants, and we're going to start with the defense. And what I want to see from defense, like I kind of just touched upon, is stopping the run right away. I think if you stop the run and establish that they're not getting anything on you, it's going to be a very, very tough day for Teddy Bridgewater. He's not a guy that can just take over a game. And I don't expect him to really take over this game, to be honest, with the secondary. If we're developing a strong defensive front up front, I can't see Teddy just airing it out. I just don't see that. That's not Teddy. He can air it out. Don't get me wrong. He can air it out at times. But it's just not really Teddy's game, and he knows it. So I think if we could disrupt the run right away, set the tone, the Giants should be pretty good in that department. I think it'll be a low-scoring game either way. But, yeah, we're just going to have to see how the secondary does. We're going to have to see how Adoree looks. We know he's coming back from an ankle injury. Darnay Holmes in his sophomore year obviously had an impressive rookie season. We're expecting him to make a big leap this year. Xavier McKinney, who's finally going to play on his first season opener, with Jabril Peppers and Logan Ryan, who I expect Logan to be more in the backfield for this game. I can see Xavier being more in the box along with Jabril. But yeah, I'm excited. Like everyone else, I'm very excited, especially for the defense. I think that's what has me most excited about everything is the defense. The offense, yes, we know what it can do if Daniel Jones has protection, or maybe we don't, but you know, we have to see it to believe it. Obviously, it's going to be a work in progress. I kind of predicted the Giants' O-line to struggle really in the first 3 weeks. I mean, if the Giants could get this win here, it'll be huge. They'll have huge momentum going into Thursday, which is a very short week against the Redskins at home. At home, I mean, that's great. My voice just cracked there. But, yes, it's great to have two games right back-to-back at home so they don't have to travel. We just know we have to get off to a good start. We all know at Giants fans, we have to get off to a good start. We've lost way too many season openers. We don't want the same story. We want a new story. We want to start the new era of Joe Judge, okay? This is the first normal year. We had a preseason. There's no excuses for anyone, really. There's really no excuses. Not for Gettleman. Not for Mara, who had all his quotes during the offseason. Not for Daniel Jones, certainly. But, yeah, let's get into the offensive side of the ball, which is where we're all concerned about and excited to see at the same time, because we know Kenny Golladay, our new acquisition, is going to be out there playing. Kenny said he feels fine. He said he's ready to make big plays. And we're ready to see him make big plays, to be honest, because we haven't had a guy like that since OBJ. Obviously, I'm not comparing their styles whatsoever. I'm saying big play-wise, to make big plays. We got Tony, who's going to be playing. I don't know how much we'll see of Tony. I have a feeling Daniel Jones is going to have to stick with Sterling Shepard a lot because that's the guy he obviously trusts more on this offense. He trusts more on this offense. But like I said, Shepard's going to have Kyle Fuller on him, who's a very good corner. So, look, I think a lot of the throws Daniel's going to have to make are one of those 50-50 balls. He's gonna have to utilize his big play guys, his guys with glue hands, which is Kyle Rudolph and Kenny G. Darius Slayton, we'll see what happens with him. I mean, he's going to be probably covered by Patrick Surtain. Saquon Barkley, like I said, I feel like we're going to have him on a little bit of a leash, a little bit of a pitch count. I don't like using that for football, but it's what's being used now. Daniel Jones, I think he's going to have to save his linemen. That's what I think is going to have to happen, because I honestly don't believe the Giants, obviously like all of us do, I don't think the Giants O-line is going to be very good, especially week one. So I think Daniel Jones is just going to have to save their backs. I think he's going to have to get the ball out faster, make his reads faster, hit the open man faster. He just has to do everything faster. Saquon Barkley obviously is a huge addition. It kind of keeps the defense on their feet, because now they don't really know what's going to happen. You also know Daniel Jones can run. I expect us to see some Daniel Jones runs tomorrow on Sunday. I'm excited, guys. I just want it to be Sunday. But we really don't know what to expect overall from the offense. But I think it's fair to say we can expect a low scoring game. My prediction was 2017 Giants. I think I'm going to keep it at that. But hey, I could, like I'm saying, it's so close, because I could see the Giants losing this game. I could easily see the Giants losing this game. I know there's a lot of Giant fans that are confident, and there's a lot of Giant fans that are not. But I can literally see the Giants losing this game. Broncos have a very good up-and-coming defense. But it's a good defense on paper. The guys haven't played together. The Giants aren't a good defense on paper. They're already a good defense. They're already a top-10 defense. And that was without all their pass rushers last year. I mean, we had Nico Lalos out there. With no O'Shane, no Lorenzo Carter. And every time I hear people talk about those guys that are not Giant fans, they're like, oh, those guys are just guys. Those guys haven't even got to prove themselves really yet. This is like their year to actually prove it. We've seen flashes, but injuries have gotten in the way, especially with Lorenzo, who obviously has the bigger upside. But look, we have those guys back. They look pretty good. I mean, Lorenzo had a sack. O'Shane, if he didn't have a sack, he had a couple of pressures. I know he was definitely getting in there. He was doing very good on his pass rushing moves. But yeah, we have those guys back. We obviously have Azeez Ojulari, who was the best pass rusher in college football last year for the Georgia Bulldogs. We got Quincy Roche, who I don't know if we'll see much, but we have him. Carter Coughlin, obviously out of Minnesota, who played pretty good for us last year down the stretch. I could see him definitely being a big part of our defense at some point, not in the beginning, but at some point towards the end of the season, I can see Carter Coughlin being implemented a lot in our defense. He's obviously getting reps now inside linebacker, where I think is probably our weakest position group on defense is our inside linebacker position. I know there's actually a lot of hate towards Blake Martinez and his coverage skills, but as we saw in preseason, I mean, I'm not even talking about the plain interception that was spectacular. Obviously, he took it out of the guy's hands. I'm talking about just the way he caught up to that man. Like, he caught up, I'm pretty sure it was Myers or whoever it was, Jacoby Myers for the Patriots. The way he caught up to Jacoby. Like, just look at Blake Martinez running to that ball. Like, running down the seam, just, like, not looking at the quarterback, just watching the eyes and hands of the receiver, just like James Bradberry does. Like, that was awesome to see. That's great pass coverage for a linebacker. Like, yes, it was a good throw by Cam, but it was a great play by Blake Martinez. And obviously he had the beautiful interception. So I'm not really worried about Blake and pass coverage, to be honest. I am worried about Reggie Ragland, for sure. That's a guy that I don't want to see Reggie Ragland out there, to be honest. I know that the Broncos are going to try to exploit our inside linebackers. I think that's where they're going to go mostly. I think Teddy's going to try to hit his tight ends, Noah Fant. The other one, I can't really say his name because it's very, very long, and I can't remember how to say it, and I don't want to seem like a dickhead or something or something like that, but I just don't know his name. But look, the Broncos have high expectations for both of those guys, especially Noah Fant, who had a pretty good season last year. It was rookie year, so I could see Teddy and the Broncos trying to exploit our inside linebackers all night. I could see that's where they're going to go, because the receivers are probably going to be very good, very, very, very covered by James Bradberry, obviously Adoree, Logan. But yeah, I think that's where we got to limit their passing. It's there in the middle of the field with the tight ends. His work's going to be cut out for him. Speaking of Reggie Ragland. Obviously we have Tay Crowder, a guy that we've seen a good amount of last year. I think Tay Crowder still has a couple years to go just to be a starter in the league, to be honest. He didn't play horribly, but he just needs some time. I think he needs some time. He wasn't ready to start last year, I don't think. But we obviously had so many injuries, and Devontae Downs, of all people, who I'm very glad is off this team, playing out there, and anyone who's better than Devontae Downs. This is what I think. I think the Giants are going to win this game. Just like most of us listening to this right now, I believe the Giants will win the game 2017. I hope they win because we have a very short week against the Redskins. I'm sorry, the Washington football team. Obviously, if the Giants lose this game, it's going to be a really bad taste in our mouths. Just because of the short week, we know we have another really good defense to go against. That's probably going to cause a lot of havoc towards Daniel Jones, even though we've done pretty well against their I hit the mic with my hand. We've done pretty well against their defensive line. Even last year, the two games we played, Chase Young didn't do much at all. Andrew Thomas stood his ground. I'm not trying to compare last year's team to this year's team. It's a whole different team for every team in the NFL, all 32. So, you know, throw that away. It's the new season. It's time for guys to step up on this Giants team to make their leaps. If they make their leaps, hey, we could have a shot. We could have a shot at the division. We could have a shot at the playoffs. I don't think I've ever told you guys my final record prediction for the Giants, but if you guys are interested, this is what I have for the NFC East. I have the Giants winning the division at 9-8. 9-8. Honestly, I'm going to be completely honest. I think that 9-8 and 8-9 are very interchangeable with the Giants. But yes, I have the Giants winning at 9-8. I have them splitting with Cowboys, splitting with Washington, and sweeping the Eagles with a total of 4-2 in the division. I'm pretty sure that's what we had. Yes, it's what we had last year. So the same division record, which is obviously a good division record. 4-2 is a good division record. But yes, I have the Giants going 9-8. I have the Cowboys right behind them going 8-9. I know a lot of people are listening to this are like, did you watch the Cowboys last night? Look, I'm still not going to hop on the Cowboys little hype train. I mean, I never will, but it's just, look, I mean, the defense still allowed 30. I know it was against the Super Bowl champs. I don't believe in the Cowboys. I don't believe that defense is just going to step up out of nowhere. Quinn, I mean, he's a questionable defensive coordinator. I mean, there's talks of, what he did over here. No, I still think he's a questionable defensive coordinator. Atlanta was horrible in defense when he was over there on defense. But, look, I just don't believe in the Cowboys. I don't believe in their offensive line staying healthy, especially Tyron Smith. Collins, not so much, but it's really Smith who I worry about. Always has neck problems. Obviously, Zach Martin's out on COVID. Their offensive line looked great, like we all expected. I mean, none of us ever questioned Cowboys' offense. It's the defense we questioned. I have the Cowboys going 8-9. A lot of people are saying, it's because the Cowboys have a very soft schedule until the first 7 weeks until the Chiefs. That's why they're saying the Cowboys are going to run away the division now. But looking at their schedule, to be honest, the Cowboys are going against a lot of up-and-coming teams, such as the Chargers, the Panthers, who I think are going to be very sneaky good. They have a really good defense. Brian Burns, Jeremy Chinn. Obviously, they have Sam Darnold, we know, but that's going to be ran more by CMC, Christian McCaffrey. Plus, Joe Brady's a really good offensive mind. So is Matt Rhule, who I think is a really good head coach. So, yeah, Chargers, obviously, an up-and-coming team. Look, those are going to be tough games. They're going to be tough games. I don't think it's a runaway for them in the first 7 weeks. So I have them going 8-9. Obviously, that could be interchangeable with 9-8. Washington, actually, let's go to the next one. I don't know why I went to Washington. I have the Eagles. Now, a lot of Giant fans are going to be like, Jay, what are you talking? Look, I have the Eagles going 8-9. That it might be a stretch. That might be a stretch. But look, I went over every game. By the way, the Cowboys, I have them. Sorry, I want to do the division games for you. I have them splitting with Washington, the Eagles, and the Giants. I have them splitting with everyone, so a total record of 3-3. The Eagles, I have 8-9, splitting with Washington and the Cowboys, and obviously getting swept by us, so they'll be 2-4 in the division. That'll leave them in third place. And Washington we'll get to, but I have them going 7-10, splitting with Giants, Cowboys, Eagles with a division record of 3-3. So yes, I have the Giants, Cowboys, Eagles, Washington. Why do I have the Eagles ranked so high? Why do I have the Eagles projected to win 8-9? Win and lose 8-9. Look, I went over their schedule. There's just games I think the Eagles defense could just take over, and the offense really doesn't have to do too much. Eagles defense is better than people think. Unfortunately, their defensive line is pretty good. Milton Williams, who they drafted in like the fourth, third round, that guy's a stud. Obviously, they added Anthony Harris to their secondary. Steven Nelson. I'm sorry, too. They had Steven Nelson. To be honest, he's really a slot corner, but I think they're going to have him on the outside. So we'll see how that does. But look, I'm not saying they're going to be world beaters or anything. I think they're just going to be better than what people expect. I think they're going to run the offense through Miles Sanders. I'm a little skeptical about Jalen Hurts. I never thought too high of him, even when he was at Oklahoma, Alabama. But I think that offense is going to be ran by by Miles Sanders, because their offensive line is actually decent. I think it's a top 15 offensive line. When healthy, obviously. That's the thing about the Eagles, when healthy, because they lose a lot of players. Obviously, there's a lot of rumors about their training staff over there in Philly. There's always report every time an Eagles player gets hurt, a significant Eagles player gets hurt, there's always reports about Eagles training staff, medical staff over there in Philly. It's actually kind of funny. But yeah, barring that their offensive line stays relatively healthy, I think they can go 8-9. So Miles Sanders is a very good running back. Obviously not the best running back in the division. I'll go to Saquon, but I'll have Miles Sanders at number two as the second best running back in the division. I don't think Zeke is any good. Well, Zeke is only good in his aspect of the game, which I don't really want to get into, but we can talk about it a little later. But yes, that's what I have for the NFC East division. I have the Giants winning it at 9-8. I want you guys to let me know. Hit me up on Twitter. You guys already know my Twitter. It's G-Men Daily, or actually it's Daily G-Men. It's actually reverse on Twitter. But yes, you can hit a follow there. I will be back Monday. I will be releasing a video actually right away. I have off on Monday. So I'll be releasing a video of how the game went. I'm excited for the season, just like everybody listening right now. And that'll be it for me. Thank you guys for listening, and goodbye.